All of you church kids, all of you youngins growing up in Sunday school and quoting verses and learning songs and Peter, James, and John in the sailboat and here comes Jesus walking on the water. God's got better for you than for us to find you in that ditch. And if the world chewed you up and spit you out and that's all you've ever known, God's got something better for you and He wants to tell you about it today. Not tomorrow. Not next Sunday. The Spirit of God that is dealing with you this morning, you may not have an ounce of interest in God a week from now.
You're listening to Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Pressing On is a ministry of Progress Baptist Church located in Hendersonville, North Carolina. For more information about Progress Baptist Church, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. And now let's join the service at Progress Baptist Church.
Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, grab one out of the pew and ask somebody behind you or in front of you to help you see the words on the page. God wrote this book. God wrote this book, and everything, Seth, He wants us to know about Him is right there. Now, there's more to know about Him, but everything He wants us to know about Him is right here, and that's what we're going to do throughout eternity, is learn more and more about Him. Now, we stand in awe with what little bit we do know. You imagine learning more. Our mind, Corinthians says this, our mind can't even comprehend that there's more to learn, but there is. Hebrews chapter 12, we looked last week, I believe it was, at the three mountains, Sinai, Zion, and Calvary. We looked at those three mountains last week. We're going back to verse 22. We're going to look at one of them, and you'll see why. It is one of, amazingly enough, in two little verses, it is one of the most amazing pictures of heaven you'll find anywhere in your entire Bible. Bar none, Brother Robert, bar none. Chapters in Revelation are devoted to what these two verses say as maybe a thumbnail sketch, is what we would call it. Look in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, it's pronounced Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Those first three phrases are one, they're looking and naming heaven with three different names, Zion, City of God, and the heavenly Jerusalem, but they're making one statement. Then he makes a second one to an innumerable company of angels. Number three is found in verse 23, general assembly and church of the firstborn, that's me and you, we're the general assembly and the church, and then the middle of the verse, which are written in heaven, you remember two or three Sundays ago, those whose names were not found written in the book of life. Our names are written, that's why we're here in verse number 23, and then the last component, the next to the last, God, the judge of all. I cannot wait to get to that one. I'm going to run on credit before I get there. And then the last line, the spirits of just men, justified men, the spirits of just men made perfect. Okay, let me be clear. There's people with all levels of Bible background here. He doesn't mean only men. Men is a phrase referring to all of us, okay? All this craziness we deal with in this country, that was unheard of until about 5 years ago. And if we said mankind, nobody got their feelings hurt. Miss Sandra, imagine that. You could say mankind and nobody got their feelings hurt. So he says just men, it means justified. All of us who have been justified are right there. Go back to the middle of verse 22, and I'm going to preach one point. Again, I'm not overly worried about the time. This is what the Lord wants me to give to you. Then we're going to give you an invitation, an opportunity to respond to Jesus. The heavenly Jerusalem. That's all I want to preach about, Seth, for just a few minutes. The heavenly Jerusalem. If you're a Bible student, if you're even a history student, you know that Jerusalem, its name means the city of peace. Jeru, Salem. Salem is a derivative of the Jewish word, which we've all heard if you've been around a Jew, Shalom. I feel so sophisticated. I can't even say it, so how can I feel it? I feel sophisticated. Okay? Don't try to be something you ain't. When our Jewish missionaries come, I go, Shalom. I feel like I'm speaking Hebrew or something. Most of the time they just look at me like, what? Shalom. It means peace. We would say, God bless you, or be well, or be blessed. They say, Shalom. It's a greeting, and it's a word when you're departing from them. Shalom. Go in peace. May God's peace rest with you. And here's what I want to tell you for the next probably 10, 12 minutes about our heavenly home, Brother Aaron. Its nickname is the City of Peace. And I want to ask you something. Would you contrast that with what we have in this world today? The Bible says in Job 14, verse 1, if you're a Bible student, most of you are, writing in the Bible, study Job 14:1 and John 14:1. Job 14:1, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. So if you're aware of what's going on in this world, ironically, if you'll let me say that, ironically, even as we speak right now, I read last night, we were in camp meeting all week, and then I was at a Bible quiz tournament all day yesterday, and my mind is saturated with 1 Thessalonians chapters 1 through 5. And I got home and I'd already had this message brewing and working in my heart for a couple weeks. And I was just trying to pull it together. And I went online just to see what the weather was going to be and if we were going to get any thunderstorms. And the news came up and it talked about how many rockets had flown from Gaza to Jerusalem in the last 24 to 36 hours. I was totally, because of camp meeting and the tournament, I was totally unaware that the heathens are attacking Jerusalem yet again. But God said, you can attack it all you want to. It's the city of peace. And if you better get your blows in now, because I'm going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And all I want to ask you this morning is, A, do you have peace in your heart right now? And B, are you going to a place where you'll enjoy peace through all eternity? Would you contrast that with the lake of fire? How is the lake of fire described? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And it was not created for you. It was created for the devil and his angels, his followers. God said, that's the only people I want there. I gave the devil the best I had. I gave him the best position I had. It wasn't good enough for him. He's a rebel. He went away from me. He took a third of the angels with him. And Jesus created that for them. He never meant for you to go there. He never meant for any flesh and blood to enter into that awful place. And there will be nothing akin to peace. The Bible says in Luke 16, it is a place of torment. And I want to ask you, I want you to search your heart. And you say, Brother Raines, eternity is a little overwhelming for me, okay? Let's just bring it right down to July 15th. Do you have peace? If you're His child, you ought to. You ought to be walking in peace. If there's unconfessed sin, confess it and make it right. But if you're His child, you ought to. If you're not His child, if you've never been reconciled to a holy God, you do not know what peace is. I said it from the pulpit. I think I was giving you a clue where the message was already going. You're not going to find peace in a bottle. You're not going to find peace in this bottle. You're not going to find peace here. You're not going to find it in an immoral relationship or immoral relationships. You say, preacher, why do you say that? Because that's where this world is turning. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The Bible says in 1 John 2:15, that's all that's in the world. It's not complicated. It's not complicated. Our brother is in the prisons. I was in the jail for 7 years as a chaplain. And what's messing us up is not complicated stuff. It's the same thing over and over and over and over again. I was there 7 years, and I know you've seen this where you are. I'm not being rude. That they knew I loved them. It was like checking in at a motel. They'd come to booking. Hey, Fred Smith, what's up? They were talking to the corrections officers. Smith, how you doing? Nobody told me that they came back. So I'd been there about 18 months and people I'd ministered to got out, showed back up. And I was walking down the hall one day and one of them knocked on the glass and said, Chaplain, I think I broke some kind of rule. I don't think I was supposed to do this. I said, what are you doing here? He went, oh, I messed up, man. 18 months later, you know what? He messed up, man. And 18 months later, I'm not making fun of him. They hugged me. They'd hug me and cry. We'd get to sit in those rec rooms and talk. They knew I loved them. Let me say something. God has something better for your life than an 18-month cycle in and out of jail. All of you church kids, all of you youngins growing up in Sunday school and quoting verses and learning songs and Peter, James, and John in the sailboat and here comes Jesus walking on the water. God's got better for you than for us to find you in that ditch. And if the world chewed you up and spit you out and that's all you've ever known, God's got something better for you and He wants to tell you about it today. Not tomorrow. Not next Sunday. The Spirit of God that is dealing with you this morning, you may not have an ounce of interest in God a week from now. That's Bible. Brother PJ, you know as well as I do, in those 25 years you walked without God, there were times you cared about your soul. There were times you didn't give a flip. And I am telling you, no matter what your age, I don't care if you are Susie Sunday School and Billy Bible. Or Donald the drug addict. I don't care if there is an ounce of interest in God. Now is the time to respond. Many of you were here last Sunday. A few were not. Can I tell you what happened? I'm not trying to make it happen again. I've been in church since I was 4.5 years old. Let me tell you what, just in case you think I'm Billy Bible, let me tell you what I lived in 4.5 years. The church knows. My mom and daddy are on the road. Daddy's preaching. I was in the middle of my message last Sunday morning. This middle. And this little fella got up. I was down this aisle. I turned around to come back up there and I bumped into him. I thought he was doing what all little kids do during church, going to the bathroom, say amen. And I turned and I was going to let him go by. He went, "Preacher, the Lord's dealing with my heart. And it's time for me to get saved. He's calling my name." Church, am I telling it right? I did what you did. My lips started crying. I said, "Do what?" "The Lord's dealing with my heart." And He said, "It's time to get saved." I said, "Well, let's get saved." Well, the men took him and pointed him to Jesus. "He's still saved?" "Absolutely." You looked a little hesitant there. Didn't have too good of a week, did you? We're working on that sanctification, ain't we? That's a process. Do you have peace? Do you have peace? What did the angel choir sing when they announced His birth? Peace. And then the shepherd said, "Look, we've got to go and tell everybody what's just happened in this manger." The world was rocking and reeling. And I know in my heart there's people listening to me. Oh, you may look good. You say, "Preacher, you're describing somebody who's been in the world for the last 30 years. Oh, no, I may be describing somebody who sat on a church pew the last 30 years. Y'all know people like that. Y'all ever looked like you had it going on the outside and you knew what was going on the inside? So I don't know who. I'm not aiming at anybody. I am pointing everybody in this auditorium, my wife, my children, my church, our deacons, our good people, our good faithful people. I'm pointing every one of us to Jesus and saying, if you don't have peace, you are going to a city that is named for peace. But God wants you to experience that today. Nobody going through a trial has it all figured out. And we all know there's dark days, but I don't know if, I guess it was Starla testified. Most of you online, on social media, have seen the video clip of the young lady burned, 2 children already dead. At one point this week, they told him it was a matter of time till the 3rd one passed. They didn't give him any hope. They said her lungs are hardening. Her blood is full of bacteria. Her kidneys are not functioning and her body temperature won't regulate. You're not long for this earth if those 4 things are stacked against you. And most of you have seen that. If you haven't, let somebody help you find it online. The testimony of that young lady saying God's good. God's faithful. We know, you know, I know there will be dark days ahead. There will be dark days ahead, but there is still grace for every need. Do you have peace? I looked up the verse in Job. I want you to turn there. Let somebody help you. Go to Job. Job, it's right before Psalms. Psalms is easy to find. Go to Job. Job 14. You there? Man, read it out loud. Man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. I looked up that word trouble. I looked it up this morning. You know what it said? Noise. Noise. Is that not accurate? Preacher, that's why they medicate themselves. That's why the state medicates them. I'm not mad at you if you're on something. I'm not. I'm your friend. I'm telling you, the world is trying to numb you out of your mind where you can't hear the voice of God, Miss Mary. That's what they do. That's what they want us to do to our children. Say amen. Noise. Rage. Fear. Wrath. Is that not a perfect description of the heart of an unregenerate man or woman? Noise, rage, fear, and wrath. We see it. How many days do we go in this country without a nationwide report of someone in a fit of rage killing multiple people? No peace, Gloria. No peace. You've said it how many times in this church in 2.5 years? Peace. I have peace. And I'm here to tell you that the land where I'm going is a place that is ruled and reigned by the peace of God. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We're going to stand. If you need help from God, saved, lost, indifferent, whatever your condition, if you need help from God, would you please come to the altar? Let somebody take a Bible and point you to Jesus.
For more information about Progress Baptist Church and to hear this and other sermons, visit us online at progressbaptist.com. If you'd like to contact us, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is pressingonradio@gmail.com. That's pressingonradio@gmail.com. Thanks again for joining us for Pressing On with Pastor Doug Raines. Be sure to tune in this time next week for another challenging message from God's Word.